podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
With Dr. Mike Gustafson and Clint Scott. I'm Aaron Dickens. We're joining you today until 6 o'clock. We'd love to hear your thoughts and your comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at DoubleT973.com. All guests appear via the Benchmark hotline, 806-771-0973. We'll have coverage of the Lady Raider basketball team as they take on the University of Texas tonight at the USA. Tip off at 7. Our coverage starts for you at 6:30 on 107.7 Yes FM. Red Raiders, losers last night. Now 0-6 in Big 12 play. They lose at home to Baylor. And so what was at one point a 29-game home winning streak has now evolved into an 0-3 stretch at home for the Red Raiders. 81-74 the final.
Yeah, and the 7 points might not do justice to how in control Baylor was.
They kept you at arm's length.
Yeah, and really, there was never a point at which I don't think. I mean, there was one couple of little stretches where, you know, cut something down to 5 points. And I think it got cut down to 5 points with a couple minutes left, and the crowd was into it and all that, but. You know, they had answers, hit free throws, the whole deal. I mean, that's just frustrating. I think between that and the dust and the wind today, everybody's kind of cranky. Are you cranky? Just a little bit? Are you sunshiny happy?
I'm about normal, I guess. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, really, when you're 0-5, 0-6 is not that, like, kind of devastating. Yep. It's not like suddenly, you know, the veil has been lifted Scooby-Doo style and suddenly this, you know, basketball team that we'd all thought was just actually great ended up being terrible. No, they were a terrible basketball team before this and they're a terrible basketball team right now, 0-6. And so it just, the frustrating thing is that, you know, as you and I and Clint sit here every day for 3 hours, it's a lot harder to, with a straight face, articulate how, okay, you know, there's still a chance or there's still reason for optimism or, hey, the tournament's not, you know, there's a chance. No, man. Like, all that stuff is going out the window. Like, now we are in the realm of, you know, one of the most unlikely kind of turnarounds and set of results, you know, that we would have seen in the Big 12 in the last 5 to 10 years. I mean, your next game is in Manhattan. It's a tough place to play. Ask the Kansas Jayhawks. And then you get West Virginia at home. Really, your best chance for a victory. And then at LSU, Iowa State at home, at Baylor. So it just, I mean, the opportunities are fading away. And you're not doing anything to really grab them. And again, like you said, 7 points didn't really kind of, to me, correctly convey how in control of that game Baylor was.
Yeah, they were, you know, it felt a little bit, and I don't know anything about them. You watch them play that game last night and go, who the crap beat these guys? You know, and I get it. That's the Big 12.
Kind of reminds you of the football game.
Well, I was just about to say that. It's like, well, both Baylor teams picked pretty good times to come in here and play. I would say it was the best game of the year. We might be able to look back at their football team and say that. But, yeah, basketball team looked like, you know, they were loaded for bear. And they look like the team everybody thought they'd be at the beginning of the year. And their freshman guard, you know, borderline lottery pick played like that last night. I mean, how just graceful and easy everything he did and ended up, what, 29, 30 points, wasn't it?
Keontae George, 27 points.
Yeah, there you go. That dude, you know, he looked the part and just graceful. And when he'd pull up from, you know, 30, and he didn't make everything or whatever, but just, I mean, that dude was just, you look at that guy and you go, that's a freshman, but that's a one and done guy, you know. And then there's another guy on that roster that scored a bunch early for them. I think he was five for his first six or first seven, and he was another guy that's kind of picked to be a second round NBA pick, and just like, yeah, that's, you know, and they played like it. It's, you know, on a night where they weren't, they're very much of a guard oriented, push the ball up the floor and be athletic and all those things. They outscored us in the paint, not by a ton, but, you know, 10, 12 points, couple more points on the rebounds. I mean, we forced three turnovers, and maybe, and this may go back to a theme that you've tapped on for a while. You know, the idea of just identity and your brand and those type things. And it's been defense, 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 defense. We'll try to figure out a way to get some offense. This year, we're going to flip it around to a, you know, the narrative, at least the talking point, was going to shoot better and be a little quicker up the floor and guard oriented and all that. And it's like, suddenly, I don't know if we drew a charge last night, and that used to be the thing, the heavy defensive draw charges and stuff. It used to be, we're going to play defense. We'll try to figure out how to score points. And this year, it's like we got, you know, it's like there's no real identity.
It's like the last 5 years don't even exist.
Yes.
Like starting over. That's the most frustrating thing about this whole thing, is that you would think that there would be some kind of carryover, right? Some kind of retained knowledge from the players that were on this team last year, mm-hmm. That would kind of help bridge the gap, right, between, you know, what you had last year and the new players that you brought in. And it's just, it's non-existent. I mean, you're a terrible basketball team defensively. And I mean, look, like you were 4 of 6 from three from Curran Walton. We've been banging that drum mm-hmm. for weeks, months.
So happy for him last night.
Good for him,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
23 minutes, almost double what he had played.
Comfortable, confident.
Yeah, 4 of 6 from three, yes. 12 points. You got something from him. You know, you shot better than they did from the field. They made one more basket, but you shot nearly 51% from the field. You had a bit of an advantage in three-point percentage. You made one more three than they did. You didn't turn the ball over in bunches, just 9 turnovers, which is pretty good.
We forced three.
I know, right. That's my point. Yeah. Like, rebounds dead even. You had one more assist than they did. So all of these kind of offensive check marks, mm-hmm. right? If this is what this team is supposed to be, offense, shooters. You hit all these benchmarks, and you still lost. At home by 7.
A good crowd.
You know?
Yeah. Crowd was into it. The whole deal. Yeah, I know. It's hard. I don't question any of those dudes' effort. This isn't because they were down 11, 13, whatever, and then cut it to 5 with a couple minutes left. You know, so they kept grinding. There's no this team's quit. There's none of that. You're not gonna hear it from me, at least, and I'll argue with you on that, but you know, they still care. They're still grinding. I won't go there at all and don't want to hear it, but, you know, just not playing well.
So we spent 10 minutes on Tech Baylor. We'll spend the next 2 hours and 45 minutes on K-State beating Kansas. More Tech Talk next.
Ouch.
Podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3. Presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
It's the juice on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Gus and Clint. I'm Aaron. Time for some headlines. We'll start here. Officials from the Houston Astros, America's team, announced an updated schedule yesterday for the 2023 Shriners College Classic, which will affect the previously announced slate for the Texas Tech men's baseball team. Well, obviously men. 8 of the 9 previously scheduled games were adjusted in order to accommodate some Sunday travel issues for incoming teams. This would not seem to help Tech's travel at all. But Tech will now face Rice on Friday at 11 a.m., March 3rd. Michigan, Saturday, March 4th, 11 a.m. And then Texas A&M on Sunday, March the 5th at 7 p.m. Odd story from Michigan, where Wolverines co-offensive coordinator Matt Weiss has been placed on leave as the university's police department is reportedly investigating a, quote, report of computer access crimes that occurred in December at the team's football facility.
Well, isn't that interesting?
I don't know quite what that would mean. An entry from the university's police online daily crime log for January 5th notes that police received a report about, quote, fraudulent activity involving someone accessing university email accounts without authorization at Chembeckler Hall. Do we have some grade changes? I don't know. Last night in the Big 12, of course, Texas Tech lost at home to Baylor 81-74. Red Raiders now 0-6 in Big 12 play. Baylor moves up to 3-3. Iowa State beat Texas in Ames 78-67. The Cyclones are now 5-1, tied atop the Big 12 standings. And then Kansas State, Clint is faking like he's on the phone to avoid hearing this. Kansas State is 5-1 as well after beating Kansas last night in overtime, 83-82 in the Octagon of Doom. Tonight in the conference, TCU plays at West Virginia. Mountaineers are 2-point favorites looking for their first Big 12 win. And Bedlam in Stillwater, Oklahoma at Oklahoma State. Pokes are also 2-point favorites. You too can join the program. We'd love to hear from you on the H Flooring Center chat line at TT973.com. All guests appear via the Benchmark hotline. This on the chat line, how about that local men's basketball team last night? So much for the run is coming. Yeah, no, just the run to the offseason, really. Thomas says this, Gus, all we are is dust in the wind. Sorry, couldn't help it. Blake says this.
Is that because that was a Kansas song? Is that what that was?
Well, because you mentioned the dust in the air.
Oh, I guess.
Beginning of the show.
Oh, I understand. Yeah. The ashes to ashes. I didn't know if that was a play on Kansas.
Oh, man.
The band that sang that song. Because, well, you know, last night, Manhattan.
Blake says defensive fundamentals are key.
Did you see the game? Did you hear what happened?
There may have been
expletives.
No. There may have been an angry walk taken at about 8:45 after the game ended to walk off some frustration and then come back and then rewind and then watch the Tech game.
I'm sure that
made it way better.
Tuesday night was awesome. Let me tell you, great Tuesday for Clint.
Can't wait to get to work.
Blake says this, defensive fundamentals are key as well as passing. Seemed like every other shot was wide open for Baylor and every pass from Tech was picked and ran back down the court. Just terrible fundamentals. This on the chat line, no charges because offenses have mastered playing our defense, a bunch of jump shots and skip passes. This in the chat line, minus a game or two, Kevin O'Banner's not been a factor other than turning the ball over. Somebody else says this. So what is y'all's take in the postgame press conference when Tyson hugged Adams and said, don't give up on us? I have no take. Good for Tyson for rallying around his coach.
Yep. No, I agree.
That's what you want to see. I don't think that changes the paradigm in that this is an 0-6 basketball team that's going nowhere fast. This in the chat line, will there be any sort of coaching changes or coaching strategies changed? Not saying any personnel changes, but something has to happen. Yeah, I don't know what you do, right? Because, you know, typically when things go south for a relatively new coach, the playbook would say, shake up your staff, right?
Mm-hmm.
We see that in football all the time. Okay, you got to change your defensive coordinator. Or, I mean, you know, Matt Wells changed his offensive coordinator. I mean, outside of just like, you know, making a change to make a change, I don't really view that as something that would really alter kind of your situation, your dynamic.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't know where. I mean, it's hard to point at one guy. This isn't the defense failing or the offense. But, you know, it's not as defined as like a football situation might be. Although I talked about that the other day. I don't really love the idea of this is all the defense's fault. This is all sure. The offense. You certainly can't do that in sports like basketball, hockey, soccer, where it's, you know, it's a more fluid game. But, you know, I'm with you. It's hard to point at one guy and go, look at that dude.
I just don't know that in basketball, making one assistant coaching change can have the same kind of momentum right. generating effect that a really good coordinator hire could have in football, right? Yeah. I mean, look at what happened at Texas Tech after Mike Leach replaced Lyle Setensich.
Yeah, sure.
You know? Look at what happened at Oklahoma State once he hired Dana Holgorsen. They really this year wasn't great, but they haven't really slowed down since. Or when Dabo hired Chad Morris at Clemson. You know, I mean, I think all of those things really like jump started those programs, gave them a giant shot in the arm. And I don't know that there's really an equivalent to do that in mm-hmm. basketball. This in the chat line, AD America is wondering, does Kansas State basketball own Kansas? Well, they do for the time being. Somebody says this takeaway is 4 of 8 three-point shooting against Kansas, and O'Banner is 1 for 14 against the rest of the conference so far. It's not great.
Well, the two assists and 21 turnovers headed into last night in Big 12 play was the more alarming number. You know, I mean, that one jumped out. I don't know that he's in a role to create a ton of assists, but the 2-21 is, that's a disastrous.
This on the chat line from Got Tortillas. Any truth to the Adams rumors regarding his personal life from a few months back? ? You'll have to be more specific. Somebody says this, Steph Curry's three-point percentage would be low if he shot out as far as Isaac. Great talent that needs discernment, great word, on when to shoot.
Yeah, I mean,
you should be careful with Steph Curry, though, because, I mean, he kind of mastered shooting pretty far out.
Yeah.
I don't think that would hurt his.
Well, Pop's hit a bunch of those, but I think Pop's, you know, this is just me talking, so I don't. You know, take it with whatever grain of salt you want. But like to me, he forced those last two. They weren't unheard of shots from the distance. But you know, it's not like those were. We worked the ball around and got that shot off with 3 seconds left on the shot clock, and they were both in rush situations. But you know, him kind of shooting that 25 footer on the move, and you know, off balance, and I mean, it's not his best attempt at success. And I think he did it. Two trips down, maybe after missing a free throw. I think that's right. You know, so it's like
yeah, trying to overcompensate. Great from the line last night.
Yeah, and you know, maybe trying to compensate. It's you know, there's got to be an element of letting the game come to you. And I thought of this with about 9 minutes left. He went into the middle and went into the lane and got trucked, and the ball went flying and no call. And you know, it was one of the few times that. You know, Coach Adams was chirping a ref, you know, and he wasn't being super demonstrative, but he went down there and talked to the ref. But I thought, you know, this is the third time. Kansas, Texas, both very late in games, and then this one the other day. When Pop goes into the lane, he's not getting those calls for whatever reason. And, you know, that's a problem, I guess.
More Tech Talk next.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3. Presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hi, how are you? Happy Wednesday. Thank you for spending part of your afternoon with us alongside Gus and Clint. I'm Aaron. We'd love to hear what you have to say on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at TT973.com. It could be about Tech basketball. Could be about Tech football, Kansas basketball, whatever you want. Hit us up, TT973.com. You can also call us on the Benchmark Hotline, 806-771-0973.
He's mad at you, dude.
Who?
You. I'm kidding.
No, I was just looking up to see what number you were about to give
yeah,
out.
Yeah, no, I was trying to give the old one. Why didn't we just keep that number? We can bring numbers with us now.
This one's better.
Okay.
I liked 5104. That's how long I've been around. That was before your time, Clint. That was another frequency ago.
Yeah, that one just had four numbers. That's how far ago that one was.
Exactly. BRK 5104. I thought... We were talking about the game last night, and it dawned on me with about 9 minutes left, and I remember looking at the clock and making a note when this happened, but, Pop went into the lane, and, pretty good contact. He went flying. The ball went flying, a no call. And, it made me think of the last play of the Kansas game, certainly late in the Texas game, in which, Pop's gone in the lane, This is zero criticism of Pop because he's been certainly one of the better and more consistent players on this team, which is really saying something for a freshman. But going in the lane and getting trucked and the ball flying, and I'm thinking, that's now three times that he hadn't been rewarded with a call. And I don't know whether that speaks to refs not rewarding him for going in the lane and maybe being a little bit out of control, and he goes flying one way and the ball goes flying the other, no call, or, but I think part of his evolution will involve, and hopefully that's three more years of the red and black, hopefully, will involve just, becoming stronger and more physical in those situations. And I always think back to, he's always going to be 6 feet tall. I'm not suggesting he'll wake up and 6 foot seven. I always think back to Michael Jordan's evolution as an NBA player. He was doing everything, but five, 6, 7 years in, he was tired of taking it on the chin instead of being, he was the nail and not the hammer against those Pistons teams, which were notorious for beating the crap out of players. And they hammered Jordan and sort of broke him. And so then that was when he very publicly went into a strength and conditioning type mode and got stronger and put on weight and all those things. Didn't affect his jump shot and all those things. And I think that'll be a necessary evolution for Pop to be all that he can be, because he's certainly been a really good shooter and a guard and all that, but I think the physical aspect of this game will, he'll have to get better. And believe me, he's not the focus of any criticism here, because he's been arguably their best player from day one to now. I just think it's part of the evolution that he'll be facing.
I wonder if, and again, I have no criticism for Pop Isaac, right? Yeah, he's a true freshman. He's probably your best player. He's been your most consistent Big 12 player. You are leaning on him more than you probably have any right to, considering how relatively young he is.
Yep.
But I do think it's interesting because, and somebody mentioned the 3-point range earlier, right? That he's taking, and to be fair to him, he makes certainly more than I would there. Yep. But I wonder if that's kind of, the trickle down effect from the NBA, right? Where a guy like Pop Isaac, who's 18, 19 years old, for really all of his formative years, he's seen guys like Steph Curry shoot from the logo with great regularity and consistency and win championships and MVP awards. And he's seen guys like James Harden go to the foul line a ton at the slightest bump.
Yep.
Right? And so I wonder if this is just something that will need to be kind of deprogrammed from him on some level, over the course of the offseason, that, hey, man, like, NBA is the NBA. The officials here are not going to call it like that, right? I don't know. I just thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, I think you're. Yeah, that's like I said, it's an evolution. You know, as good as he is as a freshman, it's not like you walk out of it your freshman year going, oh, it's as good as you'll ever be. Like, the next steps for him is, you know, to be a little more physical, because it may also affect his ability or improve his ability to defend at the point and just be, you know, because it's amazing. I was fortunate to be on the pass list and be down low last night. I mean, I was kind of sitting right behind Lovell. And, I mean, you know, and I most basketball games I see are from way up there. And so it's like being down low at a football game, you know, the speed and being on the sideline. When I went from baseball player to sidelines at football for those 2 or 3 years, that crap's moving fast and mm-hmm. it's violent, you know. Just and then I remember also sitting in the dugout my freshman year watching, very appropriately, where I belonged, over there eating sunflower seeds. And, hey, Gus, go get that bat. Yes, sir. Yeah. Right where I belong. But just like, ooh, these dudes, this is, you know, this is on another level here. We're not playing Hereford anymore. No offense, Hereford, my people. But, you know, it's the realization that we all make.
Deal with it, yeah. Hereford.
Aaron Dickens. But just, you know, it's the evolution we all deal with. And it's what's amazing to me about the guys like Pop or Mike Humphreys that I played with, or these freshmen that walk in and go, man, they're just
different cats.
Yeah, different breed of cat, you know, and it's just so cool. It's like, I mean, Adateray is not a household name, but that kid played D-line mm-hmm. this year as a true freshman, you know, 270, 280 pounds, and held his own. Who knows? The sky could be the limit for that type of guy, and it's always a good sign for a guy when he's playing that far ahead of his age group. But, boy, I just, you know, it crap's moving fast down on that floor, and he's right in it. But just the amount of physicality, and just it's not even every little bump and all that that's getting called or not called. None of us would want the game that every little bump results in a whistle, but. You know, the premise is it's a contact sport, maybe not a collision sport, and just those dudes holding their ground at times and pushing on each other and leaning on each other or whatever, it'll only help Pop as a player evolve into being all that he can be as he gets stronger. We saw this with Davide Moretti, mm-hmm. you know, and Davide probably not where Pop is his freshman year because he got shoved all over the place. But we saw him get a bit stronger and hold his ground better.
To be fair to Pop, though, also he wasn't Davide was not asked to do as much.
Right, true.
He was not expected to kind of shoulder the bulk of the scoring. This from Michael from the Ranch on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Now in this new transfer portal era, you're going to see the good and the bad. The bad meaning, if you get a bunch of great, talented individuals, but the chemistry is not right, this is going to happen more often than not. I don't think this is a chemistry issue, right? I just don't. Now, that isn't to say that I think that, like, everybody on the team is, like, you know, happy best friends hold hands. Yeah. I think those teams are probably rare. Like, you grab any kind of 10 to 15 people, there are going to be personalities that just don't jive, right?
Mm-hmm.
But... I don't think that is going to prevent you from having success. I just think that you picked up guys that can't play. Thomas the Train has this. I think you guys have made the perfect point. In the past, you have to figure out how your evaluation of the talent on the roster was so off on these guys. Yep.
Yeah.
That should be priority number one.
Yeah, I think identity / talent evaluation. It's easy for us to throw those terms around, but you know, what I would be curious about is to know, and I don't need to know it, but just again, curiosity was, did they target these other dudes over here that were more defensive and didn't get them, and so then they settled on, hey, if we can't do that, let's try to get some shooters in here, or after last year's sort of offensive frustration, let's get some more shooters in here, see if we can blend all this into a better team. And they lost A to get to B. I don't don't know, don't need to know, but that's sort of what it feels like.
Well, I would like to see more Big 12 wins.
La, nice.
More Tech Talk next.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3. Presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hi, how are you? Good afternoon. Happy Wednesday. It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Gus and Clint. I'm Aaron. We're joining you today until 6. Would love to hear your thoughts and comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at Double T 97.3.com. Somebody says this: it seems to me that Kevin O'Banner is just collecting his NIL money. Very sad for a super senior. I don't necessarily know that I agree with that. Even if O'Banner was pessimistic about this team's ceiling or the outcome of the season, and really, who could blame anybody at this point right now for that? I think there are some, even if he was just purely in this for himself, and again, I'm not saying that he is, but if we just kind of, for the sake of this argument, assume that that is the case, which is kind of what you're suggesting on the chat line, he has a selfish reason to have a good season, right? Because he wants to play this, I would presume. He would want to keep playing this game professionally after Texas Tech. Now, is he an NBA player? Probably not. But there are a lot of other options out there. Sure. Available for a good college basketball player to make a very good living overseas. And, you know, if he has a crappy last season individually, then that's not going to really help his chances there.
Right.
So,
yeah, exactly.
This on the chat line. Why did all the basketball players leave last year? I never knew why. With all the nice facilities that we have, it doesn't make any sense except for coaches. Yeah, I mean, I think at the time, the prevailing wisdom on both McCuller and TJ Shannon kind of made some sense. Hey, Shannon wants to go someplace where, you know, they're a bit more offensive-minded, and he has more freedom. Of course, if you would have known what this team would have turned into this year, you probably would have fit right in. And then McCuller wanted to play point guard. Those are the stories that were kind of put out there. And that made sense, and you were coming off of a Sweet 16, you know, berth, and there were reasons for, you know, you to be optimistic and stuff, and it just hasn't worked out.
McCuller had a rough night last night. Didn't he foul out with like no points?
Yep.
Is that what I saw?
Mm-hmm.
Goodness.
That is correct.
Yep.
Clint.
But
yes.
I think if he would have just had 2 points, I mean, K-State would have lost.
And if Grady Dick didn't go 1 for 8 from 3.
Yeah.
A lot of woulda, coulda, should have's in that game.
Yeah, Dick underperformed.
Flopped his performance.
Yes. Yeah,
soft.
Very flaccid.
It's a hard game.
It is. Yeah.
He usually drives in the lane so well.
I'm going to stop before I get fired. but now, when you look back at that stuff, right?
So I got a 17-incher and a rah-rah-rah.
When you look back at that stuff, you wonder, okay, is that really what happened, or did they kind of see what was coming, right? And you know, who knows if any of that's true, but this on the chat line, is Adams in the tank personal life failure to recruit? I doubt that he's like intentionally trying to lose. I mean, if he was intentionally trying to lose, he could do a lot better job at that. But yeah, I think that you absolutely have to kind of be concerned about the evaluation ability of this current coaching staff. In terms of transfer portal, in terms of even high school recruits, because, you know, I'm sure there are probably folks out there in their car, in their office, in their home, on the toilet, whatever, going, Adonis Arms and Bryson Williams were really good last year, and they were in the portal under Adams, and Pop Isaacs, he's pretty darn good right now. Those are all true. But when did you really identify Adonis Arms and Bryson Williams, right? Was that after Beard left or before Beard left? right? And then with Pop Isaacs, I think that recruitment had been going on for years, as most basketball recruiting is. It's done way ahead of time. So I don't know that you can just give Mark Adams and his staff, which, by the way, he changed at the end of this past season, you know, all the credit there. So,
yeah.
This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Hey, Gus, where can I get a copy of your Magle book?
Magelbook.com.
Boom. Oh, hey.
There it is.
Easy.
That's all. Yeah, make sure you spell it right. M-O-E-G-L-E. Book.com, all one word.
This in the chat line. I heard Barrett Peary was the guru of the transfer portal and talent evaluation. Any insights on this subject? When did the rift develop? The talent evaluator was shown the door. Is this incorrect? Yeah, I mean, I don't know that if he was the guru, right, of the portal or talent evaluation. But I have great respect for what Barrett Peary did in Lubbock. I have great respect for his ability as a basketball coach, as a talent evaluator, and I think this staff is significantly worse off without him on it. I think the circumstances of his departure were damned peculiar. And, you know, as much as I like and respect Steve Green and what he has done in his career, and I think he is a very capable assistant coach. This is not any kind of slight toward him, but I think that this program would be way better served with Peary on staff and kind of unceremoniously, you know, separating yourself from him the way that it did. It was odd, and I don't think reflected that great on. You know what it reminded me of, honestly? It reminded me of when Billy Clyde Gillespie more or less pushed out Chris Beard. Because Chris Beard was going to be a holdover from mm-hmm. the Pat Knight staff.
And Bob Knight. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And
he was the institutional history.
He was. And Gillespie got here, and everything seemed to be fine for a while. And then I think during the summer off season, Gillespie just kind of bleep canned him. For no good reason. This in the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Adams is 0-5 in the conference. Surely the coach has some responsibility, unless you guys are afraid of Texas Tech getting mad at double T. My man, have you been listening at all? Like, and maybe you have, which is fine. And some days I don't blame you if you don't want to listen. And I don't listen to every other show. Clint could probably school me more on that. But I think that we have been highly critical of Mark Adams, dating even before Big 12 play started. So there is no candy coating here. There's no, I mean, the buck stops with him.
I can promise you there has not been a lot of sunshine and rainbows.
Yeah. I don't, shows. This is not.
I'm not, yeah, I'm not sure what, does the texter want us to yell louder, or what do we, I mean, is it what, screaming and yelling and pounding of the desk?
Yeah.
Or?
No, but so I can assure you, I feel the same way as you do.
I mean, if you want it to
texture, I'm with you.
If you want it to bleed I'm over into you. Personal attacks or something, well, okay, that's where it's not going to happen for me. But I mean, if we're talking about basketball and this team and the program, I mean, I don't think anybody's being unfair. I mean, look, I thought about this last night, and there's, you know. Chris Level's probably a lot like I am with regard to his, you know, certainly him with basketball and football the way I am with baseball. Like, this is my team, right. My guys, you know, I'm way more fan than media, whatever. But, you know, Level has to go down there to do that post-game interview. And, you know, I usually get to the car in time to hear that because it takes a minute. You know that's not easy. I mean,
No, it's not.
No, and it's not easy for anyone, but it's not easy for a guy like Chris to, I mean, it's not chemotherapy or anything. I'm not saying it that way. It's not digging ditches, but just in terms of a guy who really cares about the program. But even Chris will say, you know, and I won't put words into it, but we lack an identity and couldn't make Baylor comfortable is my interpretation of what he said or whatever, but just, you know, you can say that kind of stuff and analyze the team without dogging someone personally.
Sure.
And that I think is what we've done. When we talk about this, if it's, I mean, if you're wanting, I don't know what level of criticism would satisfy, you know, everyone.
Well, and maybe they just caught us at a bad time, but I can assure you, and I would hope that two of the people in the text line can back us up here too. We've not been dancing around the subject here.
Hmm. Talking about it, and so we don't talk about it all day every day.
The buck stops with Mark Adams. He's the head coach. You're 0-6, not good enough at all. That's not the standard here. And there are way too many people, not me, but way too many people putting way too much money in this program for you to be 0-6. Something's got to give. More Tech Talk next.
It's every Red Raiders favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3. Presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hey there, how you going? It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Gus and Clint. I'm Aaron. We're joining you today until 6. We would love to hear your thoughts and comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at Double T 97.3.com. Somebody says this, Mark Adams must retire. I mean, that's great fan fiction, you know? I don't see any reason why that would happen. He just got a new contract. It's going to pay him around $3 million a year. You know, it would cost, I think, $7.5 million to fire him after this season. He's going to get a bonus of some kind, not like $1 million, but a decent chunk of change. Certainly a lot of money for someone like, you know, us or you out there listening, just by being the head coach on May 1st. Unless there is somebody out there with pretty deep pockets and is very motivated, I don't see any way how you don't end up with Mark Adams as the head coach next year as well. This in the chat line, I don't see many offensive plays from Tech. The Baylor offense ran lots of weaves and switches, and it just seems like we run around the perimeter and then jack a shot. Rachel says this in the chat line, Kevin O'Banner is too good of a person to be just focused on the NIL money. I tend to agree. I don't think that body language is always one of those things that's kind of tricky, yeah. Right? Because like Tyler Shuck, for example, has RBF, right? And maybe he's not like this when he's kind of not on the clock, so to speak, with the football team. But he's always very serious. And RBF stands for resting B-face, mm-hmm. Right? And that's not a criticism.
No,
I am all about Tyler Shuck's moxie and attitude and all that stuff. But if you didn't know any better, you would look at him going, man, is that guy like Omega pissed about something? You know, and O'Banner might be the same way. I don't question his effort or intensity or want to whatever.
I've thought of, you know, a lot of guys like that. Or I mean, we sort of get preached in athletics. Maybe across the board, to a certain extent. I mean, even, you know, that we want to be sort of not necessarily stone faces. Some sports lend themselves more to that than others. You can't be a 10 and a 1. You know, games are probably played a lot better at 4, 5, and 6, or maybe a 3 and a 7 in there mixed in. It gets hard to. Hey, Cam Warren, I'm on the radio right now, literally.
Come on, man.
Hi, Cam.
text him back. Come on. I should have answered it. Hey, dude, what's up?
Oh, nothing. Just, you know.
Everybody who
talking to the masses.
Everybody who has Cam Warren's number right now, grab your phone and say, hey, dude, Gus is on the radio. Quit texting. Quit calling him. Calling.
Or tweet at him.
And everybody that has Gus's number, call him.
Yeah, go ahead.
And everyone that has our number, 806-771-0973, call Clint.
I think we have to go back to when O'Banner scored 26 points. Was he you know, raging and pumping his fist and all. I think he's kind of a stone face all the time. And so I think that's just who he is. I'm not saying that he's that way off the floor or whatever. I think that's sort of his personality as a player, because you're always one shot away from your next air ball or whatever, you know. So just being crazy celebratory usually doesn't work. Neither does moping. You know, that staying somewhere in the middle is probably the right thing to do. But it's harder to take when you're 0-6 and when you're not playing well and all that from, you know, observers like us.
Well, and I mean, O'Banner was really good at Oral Bob, right?
Yep.
He was really good for you last year. He's the same player. It's just the circumstances around him, the personnel around him, maybe even the coaching style or philosophy or scheme is different than what he played in last year or the year before. This in the chat line. I cannot condone on any level personally attacking Mark Adams, but it would also be unfair to try and say that some of his domestic situation hasn't absolutely affected team chemistry. Yeah, I don't know. I would like to think that you could separate kind of that stuff from work, because people do that all the time, mm-hmm. right? But yeah, I don't know.
I know. I don't have a sense of the, you know, 20-year-old kid giving a crap. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying they're
and
they wouldn't know any better or anything else. I'm just saying, like, I just don't. I mean, you know, they want to be coached and be together and compete and win and all, and I'm not suggesting they're oblivious and haven't heard all the stuff or whatever, but I don't know that how can this guy tell me to take a charge when blah 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 blah.
Yeah, see, it doesn't really connect.
I just don't know. I can't draw that line just without a doubt comfortably. I don't know.
This in the Yates Flooring Center chat line. I've seen every team in this conference except for Kansas be at the top of the conference, and then the following year be at the bottom. All we can hope for is these kids buying in and the young core all come back and we build this thing back up. It's one season. We don't need to panic yet. Let's see how the season ends and how things unfold from that point forward. Here's the difference. All right, here's why that is not necessarily going to be the case here. Before, right, for all of these programs, really, except for Kansas, you recruited this kind of young core, you grew old with them, you got better as they got more experience, more off-season under their belt, more weight room, more nutrition, all that stuff, and then, you know, in their upperclassmen seasons, you made runs, right? And then, poof, they graduated and you start that kind of cycle all over again. That doesn't exist anymore. Right? For 95% of the programs, that cycle is done. Because you are looking for immediate help in the portal. These players are looking for better NIL situations, better playing situations, both. There are comings and goings every offseason. And I would be shocked if there's not major comings and goings on this roster over the offseason. And so you can't count on that same cycle of death and rebirth, so to speak, you know, throughout the conference, because these teams, and Tech has been up to this point before now, they've simply been reloading for the next year without taking much of a dip.
I'm with the texter in that if a couple of guys get processed off the end of this bench, O'Banner's a super senior and he graduates and you replace those. You know, we've got the one freshman signee, got the one kid who I've laid eyes on him last night, the transfer from Georgia, and I'd seen him in the stands, I guess, at the Kansas game. But, mm-hmm. you know, good looking kid. Yeah. Good looking kid, a lot like Jennings physically. I mean, just standing there in his, you know, in his
clothes.
Tech shirt. Yeah. You know, he's on the bench and in the huddle, but. This physically, he was standing next to Jennings, and they look a lot alike. Maybe just a tick leaner than Jennings, but you know. But in a perfect world, moving a couple guys on, O'Banner graduating, obviously the freshman signee, and a couple of great portal additions. I would love that, but that's a tough thing.
More Tech Talk next.
You've been listening to the Tech Talk podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out Double T 97.3.com for more from Lubbock Sports Station.